second chapter of Titus, verse number 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Verse number 13 is kind of, I guess you would call it, the theme verse of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Last May, 37 years ago, last May, after making the decision, a group of people, we decided we was going to start Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We was setting, a very small group of us was setting in the house where we started the church, and was throwing around names what we should call the church. And there was quite a few names that came out, and we all felt like that as they was mentioned that it just wasn't right. And someone, I truthfully do not remember the individual who said it. I just don't remember. But from this scripture said, "Hey, how about Blessed Hope Baptist Church?" And it just seemed like it rang a bell. It seemed like God put his approval on it. And of course, that's all history now. We named it the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And it came from this verse of scripture, the Blessed Hope. And I was thinking about that. Apostle Paul here was writing from prison. And it's interesting, here he is sitting in prison writing this scripture and talking about he was looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thought about that because back then when the church started, there was, and I don't know, you don't all know the history of the start of this church, but this church was started under persecution. And it really was. We were persecuted pretty heavily when we began the church. And in fact, some of those that wanted to give us a hard time got where they called us the Hopers. The Hopers. And the thing about it was interesting to me is it showed their ignorance of the Word of God and what really the blessed hope means. It don't mean the same thing as me and you will say today, well, I hope something happens, or I hope this is going to be, and no. This here is absolutely not that kind of hope. This is a hope that is secure, for sure. The Apostle Paul was not hoping that Jesus Christ would come again. He knew he was coming again. And so I think that you already know that, but this doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ is absolutely such a wonderful, comforting doctrine. Folks, we just, no matter what the conditions are around us, no matter what this world is happening in this world, and it's rough. There's terrible things going on in this world. But let me say to you, there is a hope, there is a comfort that Jesus Christ is coming again without any doubt whatsoever. And no, the Apostle Paul knew that. He was not hoping it would happen like you and I might think about hope. He knew it was going to happen. It was a for sure thing that Jesus Christ was going to come again, and he pinned it down here where down through the ages you and I can look to that same blessed hope and know that Jesus Christ is soon to come. That's a tremendous, tremendous thing. He called it the blessed hope. That's a one of the words that is used for the word blessed is the word happy or happiness. That's one of the words. And let me say to you, There is absolutely no greater happiness. It is the highest form of happiness and joy that will ever come upon this earth when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes. I think about that, and I think also that it's a shame because there's so many out there that is not ready. They're just not ready. And it's limited to the saints. It's limited. This blessed hope is limited to the saints of God. On visitation yesterday, Jeff Scales and I was speaking to a man who knew he was unsaved. I wasn't going to say he probably he has a daughter that rides the bus and comes regularly and said she just loves it here. She just loves the riding of the bus. And it was interesting because I asked him the question, "Sir, if you died today, are you for sure you'd go to heaven?" He said, "No, no." He said, "I wouldn't." And he said, "It's interesting you asked me that," because he said, "My daughter asks me that just about 5 times a week. And I thought, bless her heart. Her name is Katie. I don't even know the last name, but her name is Katie. And I'll find her. I'll get to know her. But I thought, isn't that neat? Here this daughter is so concerned about her daddy. And he admitted he was not saved and was not ready to be saved. And I tried to explain to him the danger in that, but, you know, the unsaved are blinded. They don't understand completely the danger of waiting and putting off, this thing of getting right with God. But this is something that's for the saints of God. The promise of Jesus Christ coming is for the saints. The word blessed also has a meaning of prosperity. And we're not talking about financial prosperity. We're talking about spiritual prosperity. A person who has the blessed hope is spiritually blessed, prosperous. It just you think about that. It doesn't matter what situation you and I are in today. It just doesn't matter. There may be all kinds of troubles in your life and heartaches in your life and aches and pains and physical problems and all of that. But you just think about it. Jesus Christ comes and all of those are immediately gone away, completely, fully gone when Jesus comes. That's an amazing hope. That's an amazing comfort that's going to happen. And I thought also, as I was thinking about that, one of the greatest things that I'm really going to enjoy when Jesus comes is the impossibility to sin. Out of the very presence of sin. Boy, I tell you, I like that. And I think that's going to be just so wonderful. You know, it's all around us. Everywhere you look, there's sin going on. Temptations are always before us. That'll all be gone. We'll never have to worry about it again. And I think, my, just think about what the promise of the coming of the Lord gives us. It's a tremendous thing when you think about it. It's just an amazing, amazing thing. Well, it could happen today. I mean, do you understand? It could happen today. There's not a thing that stops it from coming unless Jesus is just not ready to come. But we don't know that. We don't know when he's coming, but it could happen today. There's nothing has to happen before that happens. So I'm just trying to encourage you a little bit today. And also the fact that this promise of the coming of Jesus Christ is based upon the Bible, the Word of God. That's what it's based on. And God cannot lie. Impossibility for our God to lie. So we know, without a shadow of doubt, it's going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to come, looking for that blessed hope. Amen. And let me say to you, it is a blessed hope. The Bible, they tell us, I didn't figure this out. Someone smarter than I, who figures these things, figured this out, but they tell me that in one verse out of 25 verses in the New Testament speak of some form of the coming of Jesus Christ. One out of 25 verses in the New Testament has some mention or form of mention of the coming of Jesus Christ. That's exciting. God wanted us to know that. And I'm also told in the Old Testament there is 8 times as many talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ as there is just 8 to 1 times talking about his first coming. So God wanted us to know. It's very, very important. And remember, the second coming is basically in two phases. The first, of course, is the rapture of the church, when Jesus calls those who know him up to be with him forever and ever. When he comes with the shout of the archangel, and we go up to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. That's called, we call it the rapture, the catching away of the church. We're looking for that. That's next on the agenda for we as God's people. Amen. Then 7 years later, as you know, he's coming back to set up his kingdom for 1,000 wonderful years here on this earth. So God wanted us to be reminded of it. He put so many mentions of it in the Bible. He wants us to be reminded of that. And that'll keep you going. My little great-granddaughter come and give me a hug yesterday at visitation, and I said, "Honey, you just made my day." And that does. That makes my day when one of these little ones of ours comes and hugs me and gives me a kiss. I want to say something, but I want to tell you, there's nothing in the world going to be like that day when Jesus comes. It's just nothing. And so I want you to be encouraged, because it could be today. Well, I know you've been hearing that a long time. I've been preaching for 40 years now, and I've been telling people that for 40 years. But it's coming. Amen? It's coming. All right. And he says also in that verse of Scripture, we just kind of want to look at this verse today. He says, looking for that blessed hope. You know, looking is not just, oh, you're gazing at it, you're seeing something. No, this is, the word looking here means a great desire. The Apostle Paul was talking about a great desire, something that we wanted to happen very, very bad, something that is very, very welcome. And I've told you before, but I think we need to re-mention it. The coming of Jesus Christ is not being mentioned enough today in the Christian world. It's not being preached about enough. When I first got saved, we traveled many miles to go and hear a preacher preach on the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now it's very seldom mentioned in revival meetings. Well, I'm not saying preachers are not preaching it. I'm saying it's not like it used to be. You'd go to a Sword of the Lord conference, and there's always a message. John R. Rice or somebody always preached on the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we're not hearing enough about it today. We need to hear about it. We need to talk about it. We need, honestly, even between ourselves, we need to talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And because that comforts us, that helps us. To remember his coming. So the looking there is something, as I said, not just something you're gazing at. It's something that you are desiring, you want, you welcome it to happen. And I hope you're looking for him. I hope you want him to come. Amen. And desire him to come, you see. I know troubles, I don't really want them to come. Trials, I'm not too interested in them coming. They're going to come, and I know that all things work together for good to them who love God. I know all of that. I understand that, but I don't really want them. I just soon do without them, you know. But what I am saying is this, Paul said, I want it to come. I'm looking for it. I'm anxious for it to come. And again, let me just mention The unsaved do not have that hope. You got to think about that. The unsaved do not have that hope. None whatsoever. They can't get up every day and think Jesus will come today. Hallelujah. No, 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 no. They don't have that hope. And we got to be reminded of that. That'll keep us being stirred to get the word of God out. You know, I just thought of something this morning. And I don't know what has ever happened to you in life, but I am 71 years old. And if I've got it down right, I have had someone hand me a track 3 times. I'm going to say 4 because I don't want to cheat on it in my life. No one ever handed me one before I was saved, a gospel tract. Now, I want to tell you something. That's sad business. That's sad business. Just think about it. 3 times, possibly 4, at the most, in 71 years, has anyone ever handed me a gospel tract? Let me ask you, has anyone ever handed you, if anyone has ever handed you a gospel tract, please raise your hand. Okay, a few. Some, none. 3 times. Anyone ever handed you maybe a gospel tract 3 different times? Okay, so we're cutting it down. Huh? Okay. Okay. But that was before salvation?
Yes.
Okay. See? That's wonderful. Oh, now isn't that neat? That is neat. That's wonderful. But you looked around here. When I said 3, I think it was only maybe 3 or 4 that lifted their hands. And you think about that, folks. Somewhere along the line, the we're not doing the work. We need to get gospel tracts to lost people. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, let that stir you a little bit. It just floored me when I know I can remember 3 times I've been handed a gospel tract. One was out of state, out in North Carolina. We was visiting Lori, and we went out to some kind of a shopping place there. And I actually was standing outside because I don't like to shop. Anyway, I was standing outside seeing if I could find someone to hand a tract to. And someone came up to me and handed me a tract. A gospel tract. And we talked then for probably 5-10 minutes and had good fellowship about it. But I think about that. That's sad. 71 years and maybe 3, maybe 4 times I've ever been handed a gospel tract. We've got to get the word out. We've got to get the gospel out. That's the only way people can get saved. Amen? So I'm going to encourage you, make that a part of your life. I decided to do that many years, just a few years after I got saved. I decided I was going to hand out tracts for the rest of my life, and that's what I've done. I'm not bragging, I'm just saying that's what I do. Join me. And let's get them out. Anyway, he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. He said it's going to be a glorious appearing. You remember how Jesus come the first time? Pretty humble. Came to a little old town and couldn't find room in an inn, and born in a stable, and pretty humbled situation. Didn't go be like that the next time. Jesus Christ, it's going to be a glorious appearing. I think this verse of scripture can be probably used for either the rapture or the revelation of Jesus Christ. I usually look at it as the rapture, but you could look at it either way. Both times is going to be glorious. Glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. His splendor when he comes will exceed anything this earth has ever seen. Boy, just, I mean, I wish sometimes I could some way open up your hearts and pour in what I have in my heart, because I just think about him, and I think about how wonderful it's going to be to see Jesus Christ. That's just amazing, and it's going to be a glorious, glorious, glorious thing. And in fact, in 2 Thessalonians, I'm not going to turn there, but it's 2nd chapter, the 8th verse of 2 Thessalonians, he said he will destroy the wicked with the brightness of his coming. Whew. Imagine that. Just with the brightness of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll destroy the wicked. Amen. Look over in, let's turn over to the book of Revelation just for a moment here. Chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Revelation. Let me start reading at verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and Sardis and unto Philadelphia and to Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth was a sharp two-edged sword, and the countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. That there, to me, gives us just a small picture of Jesus Christ, and I'm sure John did not really have the words to describe what he saw. And when you think about Jesus coming again, even in the air to call us up, and then when he comes back to this earth with the armies of heaven with him, he calls it a glorious appearing. So when you think about his coming, think about him. Think about how glorious Jesus Christ is, you see. And we could read other verses concerning him, but I'm not going to do that right now. But he calls it an appearing. In the book of Revelation, the first chapter, the 7th verse, it says that every eye shall see him. And I think that is the revelation when he comes back to this earth to set up his kingdom. Every eye shall see him, you see. He will be center stage. And I guess something I just kind of want to mention to you. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I want to mention it to you. The Bible speaks about us not being ashamed at his coming. Now, in fact, let me just read to you. 1 John, 2nd chapter. Let me just read a verse of scripture to you. 2nd chapter, 1 John. Let me read verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I got to thinking about that. Evidently, there's going to be Christians, they're going to be ashamed at his coming. And I think about that, and I wonder, I meet a lot of people, you do too. You meet people who say they are Christian. I'm not trying to doubt them. I'm not trying to say they're not. But they never, ever go to church. Now, I want to tell you something. You talk about somebody being ashamed. never take time to go into the house of God, which was his custom to do. Every Sabbath day, he went into the house of God. That was his custom. And not to go to the house of God. I think about that. Wouldn't we stand ashamed before him? You know, in Hebrews, when it talks about not forsaking the gathering of yourself together, the even more so as the day is approaching. Do you know the situation back there, what that was? Do you know to gather together was meaning that they would put their life on the line? Because unbelieving Jews, was ready to kill them. He wasn't just saying, it's a nice day, don't forsake, go to church. He was saying that's a stake of your life, gathered together. And I do, you've heard it, you hear it too, that people who claim to be God's people and never darken the door of a church, they don't have time. Well, I don't know. You know, I can't imagine standing before the Lord with that kind of a testimony. You understand what I'm saying? I don't get it. I think about, you know, that people, God's people, supposedly, who never work for the Lord whatsoever. Never. They never serve in any capacity whatsoever. In any capacity. I mean, they don't spend time praying. Very seldom do they read their Bible. And I think, wouldn't we stand ashamed before him who did all for us? Who put his life at stake and died for us? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? I never witness for Jesus Christ? Never mention to anyone else about the wonderful grace of God that saved us? Never hand out a tract? Never talk to anybody about the Lord? I don't know about you, but I think there's going to be a lot of shame somewhere. Don't you? I don't know how there cannot be. And so he's coming again. We better get our act together, because we're going to stand before him. Amen? Amen? See, he's coming. And so who is this that's coming? Who is this hope? October the 12th, Lord willing, our daughter, Lori, is flying in to visit her dad and mom for 4 days. And we're excited. And we're going to go to the Indianapolis airport on October the 4th, somewhere around noon, maybe a little after. And we're going to see planes flying in and landing. And that's fun. And that's, you know. And we're going to see another plane that comes from North Carolina that'll be landing. But let me tell you something. It's not the plane that I'm interested in. That'd be fun. Watch the plane. That ain't what I'm interested in. It's somebody that'll be calling us to the cell phone lot and saying, "Hey, Dad, I'm out here on the sidewalk waiting on you." That's who I want to see. Amen. I want to tell you something. I'm a blessed man. We have three sons that I get to see about every week because we're all in the same church. And you get to where you take granted for that, their sons and their wives, and you get to see them, and I'm blessed because I love just seeing them. You don't know what goes inside of one of our house down there when Donna will say, oh, David or Jerry or Bobby's here. Oh, gets all excited, you know, and goes into the door and opens the door and gets excited. I think about that. I think with Lori, I Talked to her on the phone once in a while, but I haven't seen her for a year. So I want to tell you something. I want to see her. Amen. I want to see her face to face. I want to give her a big old hug and a kiss. And now the boys, they tell her they don't want to see her. Yeah, Bobby told her the other day, we got a thing set up that night after we pick her up to go down to a restaurant, and all the brothers and their wives will meet there. And Bobby texted her and said, well, I'm seeing if David will work me overtime that night so I won't have to come. And she texts us back and says, don't worry about it. I didn't want to see you anyway. I just come to see Mom and Dad. And, you know, they go back and forth at each other and carry on. But I want to tell you, Mom and Dad's looking forward to seeing Lori. Well, I want to tell you something. When we get to heaven, when Jesus Christ comes, that's who I want to see. I know I talk to him on prayer, and I read his Bible. I did that this morning. Talk to him, but it's not the same as seeing him. You know, I've never, ever, ever seen Jesus Christ. The one who died for me, I've never seen him. Talk to him a lot, but I've never seen him. It's going to be someday, folks. You got to understand something. That is going to be a precious, precious day. And when Jesus comes, it's not going to be about me. It's not going to be about you. It's not going to be about anything else. It's going to be about him, the bridegroom. I think about the marriage supper of the Lamb a lot of times, and we're going to have the privilege to be the bride of Jesus Christ. And I think about that, and I think, but you know, it's not going to be about us. It will for him. I know all of that. But it's going to be about the bridegroom. Amen? And when he comes, just think about that. We'll get to see him face to face. So if you're not excited about him coming, I hope you get excited. The streets of gold is not what it's all about. Now, I know they're there. He tells us they're there, but that's going to be minute. The foundations, the 12 foundations of jewels, is, far as I'm concerned, just minute. That gates made of one pearl, 12 gates made of one pearl, that's a minute thing. The one I want to see is him, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You see, that's what I'm looking forward to. And that's what the Bible promises us, that Jesus Christ is absolutely coming again. Who is it that is coming again? Well, the Bible says in verse number 13, let me get back to Titus here. Verse number 13, he says he's looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of that great God. Did you know, and I was going to do that. I was just going to look up the word great to see what was maybe that meant. It's more than I think most of it would think about something just being great. We're talking about the great God. You see, he's deity. He is God. People want to bring him down to just some master, some person. He's not just some person. He's God, the Son. And that's what the Bible says here. He's the great God and Savior. He's the one that died on the cross for us. He's the one that delivered us from our sins, saved us. Who is it? Jesus, which also means Savior. And he says Christ. The word Christ is a word for the anointed one. He's the one that God Almighty, the Father, anointed to be the Savior of the world. That's who's coming. We ought to be excited. Amen. And I just kind of wanted to look at Titus 2:13 this morning. It's a special verse of scripture. I wanted you to get excited about the coming of Jesus Christ. Now you remember something. You listen to me. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you know for sure you're ready for heaven, you've got the promise that the Son of God is coming after you. And I don't too worried about all the problems that we face now. I know they're serious. I know they are. But I want to tell you, they'll be gone in a moment's time when Jesus comes. We go home to be with him. So I want you to be comforted with these words this morning. Be encouraged and comforted. Jesus is coming again. Father, thank you again for the great promise. Looking for that blessed hope. Thank you for it. And Lord, ask you to come soon. Lord, I know it'll come when you want it to happen. But I'm asking you to come soon, Lord, and help us to be ready and not ashamed. In Jesus' name, amen.